Well, thank you, Bart, very much. That's a good talk, and I appreciate it very much. Piqued my interest or sparked my interest in you presented proscuneo, as however you say that, and latreo as both worship, and yet you pretty much defined latreo as service. I wonder if you might comment, are they different? Are there comparisons? How is latreo different from proscuneo? One way of looking at them is how I look at them anyway, and you can get my, I appreciate your comment on this, is that service is a broad category and worship is a smaller category within service. Not all service is worship, but all worship would be service.
Maybe your understanding is greater than mine. I just look at them simply. Proskuneo is a physical act, that of falling down. Every time it's used in the Gospels, that physical act is present. Whereas latruo is, it's more of the service. It really has its origin in the Old Testament, in the Levitical circumstances, where the Levites would go into the temple, and they would do their service to the Lord, whatever was required of them in that place. And so they're actually doing a service to the Lord in that place. And I think the application then is that for us, we give our body to the Lord. The service, it's a sacrifice. So the Levites are engaged in sacrifice. They're offering physical sacrifices. We, when we do latruo, we offer up our lives, our body, as a holy sacrifice acceptable to the Lord, which is our reasonable service. So maybe that's the distinction I see. Proskuneo is a physical act of falling down. If the Lord were to appear here, then we would proskuneo before him and worship in that sense. But as we walk every day in our life, we are to conduct ourselves with a holy service to God, with our body, with the way we behave, with our voice, with the way we treat other people. To me, that's the way I see spiritual latruo is, and it's also the acts of coming to services and physically worshiping with the brethren in the church. I don't see proskuneo as something that we're currently doing. Like I said, it's never used of Christ, and we're not falling down before the Lord in this place, but we are serving him in the things he's commanded us. You look confused. You know?
Well, when you said we're not actually proskuneo right now in the study of God's word, that...
Well, it's related to a physical act. I mean, every time it's used, in fact, even in the book of Revelation, when the 24 elders, they fall down before the Lord. So
your this comparison with the Old Testament, I appreciate that. In the Old Testament tabernacle worship, think of how much stuff there, the sacrifice of the animals and or whatever sacrifice was offered was actual worship. But think of how much work there would have been around the temple to take care of it, to get rid of the ashes. There were tons of work, we might just call menial work, that it was associated. The Levites did all that work, and they were still serving God.
Certainly.
Alan Bonifay.
I thought that was great, Bart. I appreciated what you have investigated about proskuneo here and would hazard an opinion. I told my mother one time that I expressed something in my humble opinion, and she said, "You've never had a humble opinion, Alan." So anyway, proskuneo is used the most before Revelation in Matthew and John, and then a couple times in Luke and three times in Mark and three times in Luke. But I think that goes along with what you've been saying. Matthew's writing to a Jewish audience, and he is endeavoring to prove that Jesus is the Messiah and that he is God, and so would use proskuneo for that purpose a number of times. John is writing to defend the story of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and particularly to establish the deity of Jesus, and thus the I Ams and so on. The book of Revelation is picturing Jesus as the conqueror in heaven. And of course, he is divine. We do worship Jesus, like you said, but we worship him as Jehovah or as God. As the man Jesus, we're not commanded to worship him. And the passage in Timothy, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. This is referring back to the work of Jesus as the sacrificial lamb and the offering that he made here. That was what his mediatorial work was.
You don't believe that Jesus is still a man?
Well, I think in some senses he is. But I think that this is particularly referring to his mediatorial work. When he says there's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I think the mediatorship there is in reference to his giving himself as the ransom.
But he's certainly still a man. He's been resurrected as a man, and that is a permanent, as I understand the resurrection, a permanent change. As you say, the mediation will be a term limited, but Jesus is a man and will forever, as far as we understand the resurrection.
I have no argument with that. My point is just a slightly different point than this, maybe. I'm not arguing with that at all. I agree with that. What I am saying here is what's being called attention to when he particularly uses the word man is what he did on earth as his ransom, or becoming our ransom. But I think it's very interesting that in the Gospels, you would need all of this information about proskuneo, that Jesus is divine, that he is God. This had to be established. If you were going to preach this, particularly among a bunch of Jews, you better have something to defend it all and have a clear explanation. And so when we worship Jesus and when we address him as Lord and so forth, we are referring to him as God, as one with the Father, as divine in heaven. We are not worshiping a man per se. I mean, he is a man, but we are worshiping him as God.
I mean, I'm not sure I understand exactly what it is you're saying. I think we worship God the Father, as all of the scriptures that I gave, and there are many more, through Christ, through the man Christ, Jesus.
Well,
that
maybe
is what
I'm
I
not,
believe the New Testament says. It's the theology of worship.
Maybe I'm not being clear. I don't mean to be differing with you. I thought your presentation was excellent. I just think that one of the reasons the word proskuneo
I totally agree with what you're saying about that.
Yeah. Is because he's not still here on earth, and he's not just a man. He is divine.
And if he were here, we would fall down before him and proskuneo him.
Yeah, just like the Philippians passage.
Jim, I agree.
Dickinson. Bart, I thought that was a wonderful presentation. In fact, it really leads into what I'm going to talk about this evening in many ways, the transfiguration. And it a lot of food for thought with everything that's being said. But one passage that really kind of jumped out that kind of crystallizes it in a way to me is Luke 24. And I'll read it again. The Bible says he led them out as far as Bethany. And he, Jesus, lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped, proskuneo, him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising and blessing Jesus. That's not what he says. They were praising and blessing God. While he was there, even while he was going up, and I never considered this before, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, they were worshiping him, but as soon as he went up into heaven and was received out of their sight and became the mediator, took that, they worshiped God. They were blessing God through Jesus. So that passage kind of
shed some light on it.
Yeah,
frankly, I didn't think of it that way, and that's a very interesting way to, once Christ's immediacy was gone, they were worshiping God the Father. Thank you, Jerry, for that.
Before we go over to Shahe, I want to ask a question from Daniel 7. In Daniel 7, we have Daniel's vision of the Son of Man coming before the Ancient of Days. I assume you believe the Son of Man is Jesus.
Certainly do.
And he receives a kingdom. And in verse 27, the Bible says that when he has that kingdom, everybody obeys him and serves him. And in the Greek Old Testament, this is latreo. I'm interested in the differentiation between proskuneo and latreo as worship and service, because it seems historically latreo was absolutely worship for divine persons. You could bow down before a king and do obeisance before a king, but the word idolatry, the latri, is latreo. You are giving an idol something that is only to be given to God. I listened to a debate some time ago between Unitarians and Trinitarians, and this passage in Daniel was one that they used, that the Son of Man must be divine because he receives something that is only for divine beings. And so this is interesting to me, though. I want to hear what you have to say about it. This is in the kingdom age. This would be the church, the time of the church. The Son of Man is receiving latreo.
Right. So I think this is the sense of being a bondservant. The way I look at this is as a slave or a bondservant, because we're certainly we're serving the Lord as a slave, as a doulos, and all of the, you know, all of the apostles, I think, variously said that they were a bondservant, a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that is certainly a service that we are rendering. It is interesting, though, that you're right. The LXX, the Septuagint, does say latreo. In the Hebrew, it's an interesting word, and maybe Shahe can speak to this. The word is PLH, to pierce through. And it does have the same base idea. It means to be a temple worker. So same idea, but you know, we are bondservants to the Lord. We obey the Lord, and we seek after his will. He asks us to obey him and keep his commands so that we show that we love him.
In Hebrews 1:6, proskuneo is used in reference to Jesus, I believe. The angels are the ones worshiping him. But I think, as I heard you to say, that proskuneo is never used in reference to Jesus.
Well, no, I meant in reference to humans. Yeah. In the obviously it's used in the Gospels a number of times, in the book of Revelation a number of times. But that Hebrews reference is to angels. It's not to, you know, and again, it's from the Septuagint, so it's a kind of an unusual, not from the Masoretic, but it's certainly saying that the angels proskuneo Jesus when he was born.
Shahe.
Thank you, brother. I have two questions about 1 Corinthians 14:25. The context of the chapter is an assembly of the church. The subject matter at hand is the supremacy of prophecy over tongue speaking and its ability to edify. And in verse 25, as you have on your chart, the scripture is discussing prophecy and its impact on outsiders, people who come into the assembly of the church. So my two questions first, my first one is about the conversation you were having with Clint and also with Roger about proskuneo not being used in reference to what we do now.
That seems to Jesus. I guess I wasn't clear on that. It's not what we do to Jesus now, but we can do that to God, obviously.
So then the second part of my question is exactly about this. You very ably defended the deity of Christ in your presentation, and 1 Corinthians 14:25 does not say God the Father. It just says that they fell down and worshiped God.
I think in the context, though, you would know more, perhaps, but in the context of verse 25, I believe that is worshiping God the Father.
So what in the context would lead you to that?
Well, it is the whole church coming into one place and worshiping God, and that every other place, that is God the Father. We know of no, at least I don't. I mean, it is possible. Usually, it's Paul. Doesn't Paul usually use Adonai, Lord? I know there's over 200 times that he uses Lord to refer to Jesus. And so it's my understanding, and I'm no Greek expert, but I think that Paul typically uses God when he's referencing God the Father, and Lord when he's referencing Jesus.
Yeah, I think that's true. But theos is, as you quoted in your presentation, theos is used to describe Jesus as well.
Yeah.
My Lord and my God, as Thomas says, that's theos. So I guess my question just was, if you have a passage that says that worship in the church is directed to God with no specification of God the Father, can you separate the Godhead in that way?
Yeah.
Or is that passage generic enough that it could include that proskuneo is being directed? This is my question.
Right.
That proskuneo is also being directed to the Son.
I can't say absolutely not, except for the fact that the vast majority, if not the totality, of those verses say that we worship God, and they're usually in a triad, as you saw. Usually, we worship God through Jesus Christ and in the Spirit. So that seems to be the triad of worship, the worship theology. And there are many, many verses that say that. Worship God through Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit. So if there is a verse such as this one here in 1 Corinthians 14 that says that it is the worship of Christ, then it is definitely an outlier. Outside the realm. And I'm not going to say no, obviously. I just think the theology of worship, which is well established, especially in the Pauline epistles, but elsewhere as well, is that we worship God through Jesus Christ. Does that mean that Jesus is not God? Certainly not. Does that mean the Holy Spirit is not God? Certainly not. But we seem to have a pattern established that we rejoice, we give thanks to God through Jesus Christ. That's the best answer I have. And I certainly know this is a very difficult area, and there's people with a whole lot more knowledge than I that disagree with it. But I think, I haven't seen yet a verse that says that we proskuneo, or worship Christ, in the worship theology of the church. That's the best answer I have.
Alan Bonfay.
Well, I would look at this more like what Shahe is saying, but I think we need to look at the other side of this coin, and you've presented this too, and that is we do not worship Jesus separate and distinct from God. If the term God, Jehovah, is referenced to the whole of the Godhead, then yes, we worship Jesus. Of course we do. But we do not have a right to call out Jesus in worship. There is no passage for that. And Benny said a long time ago, this came up and was being bandied about a little bit, about praying to Jesus, and it was based on Stephen's experience. Well, Benny pointed out, if you have a vision like Stephen's having, and you see Jesus, and he's beckoning to you, then sure, you can pray to Jesus. But until then, let's just do it like the Bible says and worship God.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's really, it speaks to the rigor and the discipline the Church of Christ has in its language and in its worship. We ask for a chapter and a verse for what we do. And while it might not be technically incorrect to say we worship Jesus or Jesus, I worship you, it's not found in the scripture, at least by my understanding. And so you're like a lot of things in church worship and church theology, we're stepping outside of what we know absolutely. And that's dangerous. I believe it's dangerous. And we love the Lord. We obey him. We give our lives up for him. But I think we need to be careful about our language.
Okay, I've got a question for you. Now, you said we could sing to Jesus. I'd like for you to explain the difference between singing to Jesus and worshiping Jesus. And there's two songs in particular I'm going to have you judge. When we sing, Wonderful, Merciful Savior, we're in that song, the last verse addresses the Father. The second verse addresses the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then there's another song, and one of the lyrics, it's a very old song, and it says, "Praise Him above, ye heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Are those scriptural songs? And also, what's the difference between singing to Him and worshiping Him?
Yeah. That's a rough one. I was afraid.
Judge.
I was afraid somebody asked that. I think I'm going to take the easy way out. I think because we're given authorization to sing to the Lord, make melody in our hearts to the Lord, then that means that we can, as long as it's scriptural context, then we can write and sing something to the Lord. It's prayer. And there is a difference, as I'm sure we all agree, between prayer and between singing. Everyone takes part in singing. The men lead prayer, and so in the church, in the worship of the church. So I believe we address the Lord in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not told necessarily to sing in the name of the Christ, although we're told to do all things in the name of Him. But we're told that we can sing melody. So I think those are, as long as the song is scriptural in its context of what it's saying, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, that's my question. Is it scriptural?
Yeah, I think it is. So my answer is yes. Okay. My answer is yes.
Any more questions? Myron?
When people wait on the table and they thank God for His blood and His body, that's not scriptural, is it?
I don't think so. I think you need to be specific, and you need to. We thank God the Father through Jesus Christ, and so the person of the Godhead that we thank is God the Father, and it is not His body and His blood. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. We remember. We're told it's very. You know, if there was one place in Scripture where a word for a worship should be used, it would be the communion, obviously. The communion is the most important memorial, but what we are told is to remember, and we are told to in doing that, we proclaim the Lord's death. And I think those are specific terms, again, that are chosen. I don't think it's appropriate to stand up and say, we are going to worship Jesus now in the Lord's table. We're going to remember, I just think we need to use the language that has been provided for us. In the Lord's Supper.